The Holy Gospel for this morning is taken from the 15th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus called the crowd to him and said to them, "Listen and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles." Then the disciples approached and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees took offense when they heard what you said?" He answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if one blind person guides another, both will fall into a pit." But Peter said to him, "Explain this parable to us." Then he said, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes out into the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles. For out of the heart come evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile." Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This particular text can clearly be divided up into two different sections. The first addresses the issue of what defiles a person before God. And in the second address, the place of Gentiles in Jesus' ministry. So the first question I asked myself after reading this text was, are these two stories completely unrelated? Or is there something that runs through there that makes it consistent, that makes it one message, one word from God, from both of them? Now, the first thing, of course, to get out of the way is the fact that the specific issues being dealt with here are no longer relevant to our lives. We don't worry about ritual cleanliness. That was an issue for the Pharisees. We may wash our hands for health reasons, but we don't worry about defilement before God in that regard. So that issue is a non-issue for us, right? So however, there are issues relating to the fact that people are oftentimes accused of certain kinds of defilement nowadays. It may not be for the same reason, but it's there. And you can hear about it in the news every single day. So Jesus, he always has a way of taking a particular issue that was something only for a particular time and universalizes it so that everybody is addressed in one way or another. In this particular case, of course, the issue is what comes out of a person's heart. Now, the second part of the text is about this Gentile woman, a Canaanite. And what complicates it is that the Canaanites were the very people the Jews kicked out of the Promised Land at the time Joshua took possession of it. So there was a situation of extreme where the Jews looked down on the Canaanites. I mean, these were people out of the garbage bin of humanity. And the issue is Jesus' inclusion of Gentiles in his ministry. Okay, and that's no longer an issue either. However, there is the issue of the relationship of Christians and Jews. We do hear anti-Semitism. And so, you know, in a strange way, but in a different way, the issue has not gone to bed. So understanding how these two texts are related is an illustration of how we are to read Scripture as a whole, it seems to me, because behind the two specific issues for that time and place, there is a universal sense in which God's word is addressing us in two different ways. There is, in the first story, a no from God, a judgment from God. God judges what comes out of our hearts and says, no, that is not acceptable. And in the second reading, we have a message from God that is entirely different. This is not a no, this is a yes. Because here we have a woman pleading for help, pleading for God's grace at work in her life, and Jesus ultimately says yes. And her daughter is healed. So you might compare these two texts to what a physician does, right? What does a physician do first? He diagnoses a problem and says, this is the problem, this is what we have to eliminate. Whether it's a bacterial infection or whatever it might be, this is what has to be eliminated. This is what we're going to say no to. But then the physician offers some method to bring renewed healing to the person's life. There's not just a no. If we just left it at that, that would be the end of it. There would be no hope. But then there's the offer of healing. So you have the same thing here. You have God's no and then God's yes. But ultimately, God's word spoken to us in a no and a yes is one and the same word. Because it's a word that is designed to transform and change us and bring us into a relationship with God. Both the no and the yes. The no serves the yes. In order to have faith, there are certain things that have to be eliminated from your life. And so when God judges, the judgment is always in service to a greater, yes, a greater message of grace. Judgment serves grace, just as repentance leads to life and healing. So back to our text. The first half, Jesus is addressing the criticism leveled to his disciples by certain religious gatekeepers that they had eaten with unwashed hands, a violation of the laws of religious purity. Jesus completely rejects this as the product of human traditions. And in another text, he compares this, well, by implication in here too, he compares this to people's tendency to observe human traditions and to elevate them to a level higher than divine commands. So he's saying that these people are worried about whether your hands are washed, but what they're not worried about is what's in your heart. Murderous thoughts, theft, slander, fornication, adultery. Those are related to the commands of God. Nothing having to do with unwashed hands there. So it seems to me that when we look at this text about what comes out of a person's heart, it seems to me that the church needs to be really honest about what goes on in our society today. What's going on? What's going on is that, for example, when it comes to a group of neo-Nazis, they are not roundly condemned right from the beginning. Nazism was the worst scourge that ever hit the 20th century, maybe human history, and thousands of Americans died to get rid of this, and it needs to be roundly condemned, plain and simple. And then you have, on the other side, the anti-fascists, who love to call other people that they don't agree with fascists. And even post on Facebook pages, messages, hoping that somebody will assassinate the president. What Jesus says in this text is that these kinds of things defile people. Murderous thoughts, the desire to slander other people with labels for which you have no evidence to confirm. Whether it's the right or the left, that's what's going on. It's easy to roundly condemn people and say certain things are in their hearts for political purposes and gain. But what is it leading to? Is it helping this country? Is it helping bring people together? Is it helping to create a better society? Is it addressing the needs, the real needs that are out there? I don't think so. So just as in Jesus' day, human traditions, political positions, are raised above the concern for the real needs of people. The same thing is going on today. And it always has. It always has. It's never been any different. So this text is clearly a divine no, a judgment against that kind of sin. And that's what it is. For Jesus, sin is not only behavior. It is what's in your heart. And the first thing to do in confronting sin is not to look at your neighbor. It's to look at yourself. Because we cannot properly see clearly what is going on in the world around us until we have first cleaned house in ourselves. As the psalmist says, Lord, he doesn't say, give me clean hands. He says, create in me a clean heart. Excise this sin, this filth. But God's desire here is not just to send people a no. God's desire here is to diagnose a condition. To say, if you allow this kind of stuff to go untreated, if you allow your heart to be filled with hate and slander and the desire to harm other people, that, just like smoking cigarettes gives you cancer, that is going to lead to a harmful consequence in yourself and in your communities. And God doesn't want that. He wants us to be well. And so he says no to sickness. The second story involves an entirely different kind of set of circumstances. We've got here a woman who's a Gentile. Jesus wandered off out of Israel to the north, perhaps because there were some Jews up there. But in any case, she cries out so much, the disciples say, send her away, get rid of this woman. We don't care about people like this. We care only about our own kind. It was a very tribal kind of attitude. And at first, Jesus plays right into it. But you know, there's a question of interpretation here, and I can't answer it for you. The question is, was he just testing this woman to see if her faith was genuine? Or did he really believe he was not sent to help people like her? I don't know. But he definitely comes across not as the nice, smiling Jesus we like to think about in our imaginations. He tells her it is not fair to throw the children's food to the dogs. The implication is pretty clear. But her answer is very clever, isn't it? She believes absolutely in his divine power. She has put her faith in him. And when she answers, yes, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table, it becomes very clear to her that her faith is not only genuine, but extremely passionate. And so Jesus sees here that his ministry goes beyond that of just his group, just the Jewish people. The Jewish people are representatives of all of humanity. Yes, they were chosen. They were God's people. And they still are, by the way. But they represent all of humanity. All of humanity is chosen in Jesus Christ. And so when he sees faith, that in him the grace of God has become manifest in the flesh, then it becomes clear that there's only one answer to her plea. Yes. Yes. And there's another message about the Christian faith here, isn't there? For this woman, faith is an extremely passionate thing. She doesn't give up. You know, the Christian faith is not a hobby. It's not something we engage in when it's convenient. It's not something we sort of fit in when all the other concerns of life have been taken care of. It's not just another item in the grocery bag of things we're concerned about in life. The Christian faith is not just one more concern along others, or worse, something we observe on holidays and then let it go into hibernation the rest of the year. The Christian faith, if it is to be redemptive for us, you know, receiving the grace of God means making room for it in your heart. And that means change and repentance. And that means opening yourself up to a force and a power and an influence of love in the Holy Spirit that there is nothing more powerful possible for a person to experience than that. So, yes, God's message to all of us is yes. He says yes to us by becoming a human being. He is saying yes to the whole human race, to all people. God is saying yes. And we can at any time, as this woman does here, and what she does here is really representative of prayer in our lives. I talked about that last week. But I think it is so important to remember that the grace of God is something that we need to seek, we need to knock, we need to ask for again and again and again. Not just when times are bad, we go after God, we say, please help me, and then when things are fine again, then we're done. The grace of God is something we seek every morning when we wake up, and it's something we seek every time we're tempted. I mean, if you look at the Lord's Prayer, what is it but a series of requests for God's grace? That's all it is. Thy kingdom come. Save us from the time of trial. Deliver us from evil. It's all grace. Give us our daily bread. And so, God at times does say no. But when God says no, it's for a very good reason. It's because God is concerned deeply for our well-being and for our desire to experience the amazing power of His grace to lift us up and set us on a road that leads to eternal life. And so, as Jesus said elsewhere, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the riches of His kingdom. So when you ask, understand, that's what He wants to do. And to that He also added, seek first the kingdom of God, and all those other things you're worried about will be added unto you as well. Amen.